This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
We are the Diehards right here at SportsMap Radio Network. Patrick Gilroy taking you guys all the way up until 10 p.m. Eastern time here this evening, right here on the Diehards. No Anthony Pepe. He's out building the Pepe Empire. It's just Gilroy flying solo with you guys. We got lots of stuff to get to, some NBA, some Major League Baseball. I got some personal thoughts on the ultimate egomaniac, the ultimate narcissist, LeBron James, trying to steal the thunder away from his coworkers, his compadres, you know, the people that, I don't know, build the league with him, saying, hey, yeah, I'm going to change my number mid-playoffs. Do you really have to do it right now? We'll get into LeBron. And is there any level that LeBron will not go to make sure that the spotlight is consistently, constantly, and always 100% shining upon the face of the great King Damn James? We'll get to that coming up in a little while, of course, in the 9 o'clock hour. Rick Horro, the sports professor, will join us. Lots of stuff to get to in the sports business world. And finally, the Olympics, believe it or not, are going to take place this summer in Tokyo. Tokyo is still a bit of a mess when it comes to COVID. Some of your favorite NBA players are going to be participating, and it was announced today here in Boston that Jason Tatum has committed to play. And I think Jason Tatum is making a monumental, historic mistake going to Tokyo to play in these Olympics. I'll tell you why coming up later in the program as well. And by the way, in the ultimate countryman, go Team USA, want to see them win the gold. But as a selfish Celtics fan, Jason Tatum is just making a monumental mistake that I think he's going to learn to regret in the not-so-distant future. There's just such thing as too much basketball. And Jason Tatum, you're guilty of playing too much basketball. Again, my name is Patrick Gilroy, sitting in for Anthony Pepe. No friends this evening. Rick Horro, he'll join us up in the 9 o'clock hour. When we come back, I do want to get to Major League Baseball and their quote-unquote crackdown on illegal substances. We'll get to that and a whole hell of a lot more when we come back right here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
We are the Diehards, right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. No Anthony Pepe this evening. It's Patrick Gilroy hanging out with no friends either. It's a very lonely night here at the Pepe compound where we broadcast this incredible show from. But I do have Andrew Carlson behind the glass hanging out, making sure that I don't get too lonely here or get too out of line without Pepe to sort of, I don't know, smack me around a little bit when I say something that some people may consider outrageous. I know here in New England, it's okay when I do my local sports talk show to say whatever I want about LeBron James, because the man, despite being a partial owner of the Red Sox, just doesn't have many fans here. So I'm generally preaching to the choir, but I realize he's a beloved athlete outside of New England, and we'll get to LeBron coming up in a little while. But this whole Major League Baseball quote-unquote crackdown, it's such a joke, and it is such a PR stunt. It's transparent. And part of my problem with things that are this transparent is you can see right through it by definition. But it's Major League Baseball once again playing people like idiots, pretending that a 10-day, not a 10-game, but a 10-day suspension for using any kind of illegal substance on the ball. So it's mainly affecting pitchers, but it's not isolated only to pitchers. It is some sort of deterrent. And here's the thing, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I don't care if it's Major League Baseball players using some sort of substance to be able to grip the ball and get that spin rate just where they want it. That's the new buzzword of the week is spin rate. I don't care if they do that. I encourage them to do it, and I wish that all of these major sports, not just here in the United States, but I'm talking globally. Sports are entertainment. They are there to entertain the masses. If it wasn't entertaining, people wouldn't spend a couple hundred bucks a ticket. People wouldn't spend outrageous money to keep their cable packages because they've got no choice. They can either choose to stream the game and steal it off the internet or just make it easy, put it on your 60-inch flat screen and pay 200 bucks a month for cable so you can watch two channels because you're a diehard sports fan. And that's what most of us do. There will never be a day in my life, as long as I've got the ability to work, where I don't have some sort of a package to watch the Celtics, to watch the Patriots, to watch the Red Sox, even the Bruins. And I'm not even a big hockey guy, but come playoffs, of course you're going to watch, right? But I don't miss a Celtics game. And I thoroughly enjoy watching on a 60-inch high-def flat screen, right? That's awesome. And they know I do, so they steal your money. And they know you're watching two channels, and they got no problem with that. And when I want to take my girlfriend and take the kids, family of four, take her son too, family of five, 200 bucks a ticket, you're talking about $1,500 by the time the night is said and done. And that's if you take it easy on the food and the beverages while at the Garden. And we pay it. You know why we pay it? Because we want to be entertained, because we're rabid sports fans, because we need something else in our life to sort of fulfill us, make you happy. That is the giant hole that sports fills. And, we take it so seriously. It's way too serious for all these people out there that genuinely believe that athletes aren't consistently, constantly, 100% of the time looking for an edge. And whether that edge is something they put in their body, on the baseball, on their body, it doesn't matter to me. If an athlete makes a conscious decision to use steroids or use HGH or use some sort of performance-enhancing drug, and he's been educated on, or he or she has been educated on the potential pitfalls of said drug, and they know that it can cut their lives short, they know that it can cause all these side effects, be it physical, sexual, whatever it may be, and they still decide, as grown-ups, as human beings, and as somebody that uses that body that they are injecting or mistreating, so to speak, but they use that body as a means to make a paycheck, who am I to stop them? Hell, I go back to this all the time. There was nothing more entertaining than Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire. Nothing. It was captivating. And baseball would do anything to captivate the audience right now like those two guys did 20 years ago. They would. It's impossible. Baseball's been good this year. It's not captivating. It's not much must-watch television like it was back then. You know why? Because it captured the hearts and minds of the lazy sports fan. It captured the hearts and minds of the masses. And that's what you need. We talk about herd immunity here in this country because of COVID. You need herd fanaticism when it comes to sports. It's when the casuals get involved and they become diehards, even if it is just temporary, that cities take it to the next level. You mean to tell me that if there was something that Jaylen Brown could have taken or put on his body to allow himself to play in the playoffs, I would have been all for it. If Jaylen doesn't want to do it, can't force him to do it. But if these guys want to make a choice, go ahead. Because for every pitcher that's grabbing a little something-something to get a better spin rate, he knows that a bat is being messed with on the other side. He knows that his potential opponent is juicing, is taking some sort of amphetamine, is doing something to the bat to sort of get an advantage. Everybody's looking for an edge. That's why it's called competitive sports. And we would be so naive if we actually believe that people do it on the straight and narrow. I mean, I'm sure some do, but why bother? Why not allow these guys to extend their careers, extend their years of being productive? There's guys out there like LeBron James. I don't know if he's using anything. Let's say he's not. At 38 years old, his body is ready to break down. He started to show real signs of it throughout the playoffs this year. But if you're an NBA fan, whether you like LeBron James or not, and I do not like him, but I'm an NBA fanatic and I can appreciate how dominant he is, how great he is, and how special it has been to be able to watch him for the entirety of his career. If there's something LeBron can take to keep him at that elite level for a couple more years, why not take it? if he's willing to pay the price on the other end. You know, we sit here as judge, jury, and executioner every time one of these stories breaks. And the stories are no different. Whether it's a substance on a baseball or a substance somebody puts in their body, we're all sitting here as fans ready to judge. And the old curmudgeons, oh, don't let them in the Hall of Fame. They have their own separate wing. It's such a joke. And as a sports fan, it's an insult. You know, it's tragic when these guys get CTE. You know, the football players that retire and 10 years later have trouble getting through their daily lives. They didn't get it from abusing drugs, abusing substances, putting a little something extra on the football. They didn't get it from that. They got it because they knew going in, especially over the last 20 years, players that have played over the last 20 years or so as CTEs come to light, today's players know the risks. That's why you see significant players at young ages bowing away from football right now. They make a conscious decision. Look, it's not worth it to me to potentially get CTE someday, so I'm going to forego millions of dollars and walk away from my career while my brain is still intact. If that's a decision they want to make because they put their lives ahead of their livelihood, bravo, good for you. You've educated yourself, you've made a decision as a human being, as a person, and more people should do that. But I don't care if you do that or if you want to take something. Take something and extend your career. I'm going to say bravo to you too. As long as every decision you make is educated. Because at the end of the day, if these guys are taking something, putting a little something extra on the baseball, guess what? We are entertained. We enjoy it. Yeah, there's nothing better than watching guys perform at the height of their careers. And if we can extend the height of their careers by a few years, why not do it? When Chris Sale comes back to the Red Sox are a sneaky good team this year. People didn't expect it. When Chris Sale comes back, if he needs a little something-something under the bill of his cap to sort of get his confidence back, then go for it, if it were legal. Sports would be so much less complicated if we would stop worrying about catching somebody in the act and just started worrying about, are you enjoying the product that you're watching on the field, the product that you're watching on the court, and the product that you all pay big money to enjoy. That's the whole thing. It costs a lot of money to enjoy this product. Costs a lot of money for us to go out there and attend a game, to watch a game, and to be fanatics, to wear the clothing, to buy the clothing. And you know, right now, rocking a Celtics hat and Celtics shirt. It's a very low-key Celtics outfit, but it's $100 worth of apparel, right? And I'm one of millions of people that do this every single day, whether it's the Celtics are your team or the Suns are your team or the Houston Rockets are your team. You buy the apparel, you watch the games, You attend the games, you support the product. I don't want to have a philosophical debate about pitchers and what they need to get their spin rate. I don't want to have a philosophical debate about baseball players like Ryan Braun, you know, going out there and having 50 home run seasons and then turning into nothing when he gets caught. Stop looking for it. Just enjoy the product that you're watching. Make these guys sign a contract or put it in their contract that if they decide that they want to take a little something, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NFL, they cannot be held responsible for any potential medical issues that come down the line. And I bet you 80% of these guys would go ahead knowing the risks and do whatever they had to do to gain that competitive advantage, because it's that competitive spirit that drove them to be as great as they are to begin with. My name is Patrick Gilroy. We are the Diehards right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. No Anthony Pepe this evening. It's just Gilroy taking you guys all the way until 10 o'clock right here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
We are the Diehards. This is the Sports Map Radio Network. No Anthony Pepe, no friends this evening. It's Patrick Gilroy taking you guys all the way up until 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Still lots to get to here in the program, including the sports professor, Rick Horro, join us coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. About 5-10 minutes away from tip-off, Game 5 of the Bucks and the Nets and the NBA's playoffs coming up to here tonight. And it's interesting to me that the Nets, I think, are pushing the panic button here, and it makes me chuckle, it makes me laugh a little bit. You know, in a perfect world, I would love to see at this stage in the game with the teams that are left playing in the playoffs. I would love to see a Bucks-Suns finals. I think that would be great for the league and great for NBA fans. I love the way the Suns play. I love the style of basketball they play. And to me, they play the right way. They play a fun brand of basketball. It's going to be interesting to see what the Suns do in the offseason with Chris Paul already publicly saying, or his agent publicly saying, that he's declining his player option for next year to go into free agency, and he's looking for a three-year deal at 35 years old. And, you know, teams are going to have to think long and hard about it, but you see the impact that Chris Paul still has on a franchise and the impact that he has on winning. You know, the Suns have been a team on the rise for the last couple of years, but they certainly needed that veteran leadership. But more so than the veteran leadership, they needed a guy that could come in and be a secondary star and provide the veteran leadership, and that's exactly what he's provided for the Suns for the bulk of this season. But looking at the Eastern Conference and the Nets and the Bucks, this series has been, it's been funny to watch, and it's been a little confusing too, right? So the first couple of games, Brooklyn goes out there, look like world beaters, and essentially everybody's already anointing them the best team, not only in the East, but the best team in the NBA. Then injury bug strikes, and we know what happens. And, you know, Milwaukee goes home. They're a talented team. They're a team that always plays much better at home, especially the second half of the season this year. But they're secondary stars. Those are the guys that always play better at home. But for whatever reason, instead of just rolling with the punches here, Brooklyn is pushing the panic button on the series and potentially on the remainder of their run through these NBA playoffs. And as much as it pains me as a Celtics fan to admit that, talent-wise, when all three are healthy, Brooklyn clearly has the best team in the NBA right now, talent-wise. And they were starting to really play like it. They steamrolled through the Celtics. It looked like they were going to steamroll through Milwaukee. Not so much now. But when those guys were healthy, they were an absolute machine. And the fascinating part about what Steve Nash has done with that Brooklyn team is he somehow convinced Kyrie to play off the ball the majority of the time. And that's something that was talked about when he was here in Boston. You know, would he be willing to play off the ball? And the consensus was no. Kyrie Irving is far too selfish of a star to be willing to play off the ball. Well, he's doing it now, and maybe it's because there are a few players in the world better than Kyrie Irving, more talented than Kyrie Irving, and maybe Kyrie respects James Harden so much that he's one of those players. Harden is one of those players that, you know, might just be better than Kyrie Irving, right? So Kyrie might not have a leg to stand on, but he has willingly taken a back seat, kinda, and played more off the ball than we've seen him ever play. And I think that's done wonders for that Brooklyn team. It's going to be fascinating to see what they do now with no Kyrie, and the fact that Kyrie goes down, and word today is that he's going to miss the remainder of this series and potentially more time, but at a minimum, it's looking like he's going to miss the remainder of this series. You see Brooklyn push that panic button. And the reason I say that is, you know, James Harden, this is not the first time that he's been dealing with the hamstring issue. It's haunted him the last few years. Haunted him going back to Houston. He's already missed time this year with it twice, and now missed time in the playoffs. And typically, these guys need somewhere between 2 weeks and 25 days. Somewhere, that's generally the sweet spot for a hamstring to really recover, so it's not vulnerable to an even more catastrophic injury. And that's the biggest fear when you bring a guy back too early with a hamstring injury. And when I look at this series and I look at this situation, I feel like this tells you a lot about the belief or lack thereof inside that Brooklyn locker room. Because you still have one of the best players in the world in Kevin Durant, who's been playing otherworldly for the most part, and a terrific supporting cast around him. And you know, you tell this team you got to win one game. You just win this game, and then maybe Harden comes back for the deciding game six. That would have been the smart play. That would have been what I did. Because, again, you can't look at this run that Brooklyn's having as a one-year run. I know that everybody's eager in Brooklyn to win a championship. Everybody feels this is their opportunity. This is their time. But they've got a couple more years left in the tank with these three star players. And when you look at this situation that they're putting James Harden in, what if James Harden goes out with a catastrophic injury and he tears that hamstring? It's no longer just a strain, no longer just a pull. He tears it. and he's got significant injury to deal with going into the offseason and potentially into next year. You know, are you willing to risk that as a Brooklyn Nets fan? Is that a trade-off worth taking at this stage in the game? And watching them manage him tonight is going to be fascinating. That's the thing I'm most looking forward to. You know, I talked to a couple of trainers earlier today, and there's a couple schools of thought. We're going to learn a lot about just how scared Brooklyn is, both of losing this series and of losing James Harden for the remainder of the series if they don't play this right. Basically, the two schools of thought are they're dramatically different. So one is you play him under 20 minutes, he gets consistent rest, and while he's getting his rest, there's a combination of heat and ice that they continue to put on that, and that's supposed to keep that hamstring nice and loose and limber and allow him to come in and out of the game. But there's a completely opposite school of thought as well that says, no, if he goes out there and he successfully completes 6, 7, 8 minutes and that thing gets loose, you don't want it to tighten back up. So sure, he can take a rest around the quarters, he can take a break here and there, but if he plays and it looks like that thing's going to stay together, it's going to stay intact, you want to play him 38, 40 minutes. You want to play in the majority of the game, because the longer you sit him after he's played 8, 10 minutes and broken a significant sweat and loosened up his body, you increase the chances of that hamstring tightening up. I have no idea. I am not a doctor. I am not a trainer. I have no idea how they're going to handle this. But something tells me they're going to play him north of 35 minutes tonight. If they weren't planning on doing that, then why bring him back at all? James Harden isn't exactly Mr. Efficiency. James Harden is a volume scorer. That's what makes him so dangerous. When he gets hot, he's unstoppable. When he decides to bull his way to the rim, he is unstoppable. He is an offensive machine like the NBA hasn't seen in years. He's that dynamic, that unique. But is he that dynamic and that unique playing with a somewhat injured hamstring? And word was all day yesterday that he wasn't going to give it a go today. Then suddenly everything changes, which tells me there is suddenly some doubt creeping in to that Brooklyn locker room. It's going to be fascinating to watch, fascinating to see as we approach tip-off here on a Tuesday night in the NBA. These NBA playoffs have been entertaining. They've been fun. You know, even from a Celtics fan's perspective, where you know, the gentlemen sweep losing 4-1 to Brooklyn, the league overall has put a good product on the court this year, and it's been fun to watch, especially coming off the bubble season last year. Watching fans return to the stadiums here, return to the arenas just in time for the playoffs has really been a shot in the arm, I think, for the NBA fans and for the NBA players. So many of these players have commented on the fact that they forgot what it was like to have 20,000 people cheering for them. So that's been refreshing, and that's been one of these sort of positive signs that we've seen here as a country as we try to make our way through the remainder of this COVID pandemic. But watching what happens tonight with this team, with their three stars, is going to be fascinating. We know no Kyrie Irving for the remainder of this series. Who steps it up for Brooklyn? Yeah, there was a funny picture going around on Twitter earlier where Steve Nash decides to come in and sign a 10-day contract, come off the bench, let Mike D'Antoni coach the team because Steve Nash is the best point guard left on that team. He's 45 years old. Not going to happen. But the fact that that's out there and Brooklyn Nets fans were sort of calling for it tells me that they're lacking a little something right now, and they shouldn't be. You know, teams fight through injuries in every NBA playoffs. They do. You know, you saw the Lakers fight through injuries this year, and it cost them. Going back to the 2009 Celtics that should have been a shoe-in to win a back-to-back championships, Kevin Garnett was never right after he hurt his hamstring and hurt his knee. And he was never right again. It sort of stayed with him for the remainder of his career. So that 2009 Celtics team should have won a championship if Kevin Garnett didn't get hurt. Will we be saying the same thing about these Brooklyn Nets if James Harden never goes down, if Kyrie Irving never goes down? That's going to be what I'm most interested in seeing here. Because as an NBA fan, I just want to see these guys compete and compete well. It's one of those things where I just want to see these guys do their jobs and put on an entertaining product. It's thoroughly more entertaining with James Harden on the court, but I don't want to see James Harden go out there and hurt himself, because to me, that's not worth it. Maybe it's worth it to the Brooklyn Nets. We'll find out very shortly as we approach tip-off here for Game 5 between Brooklyn and Milwaukee. My name is Patrick Gilroy. This is the Sports Map Radio Network. When we come back, we've got more to get to here. Of course, Rick Horro coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Want to get more into LeBron James and the number change when we come back right here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
We are the Diehards right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Patrick Gilroy sitting in for Anthony Pepe. No friends this evening. Pepe's out building his empire, doing Pepe things. And he left me here alone in the palatial Pepe studio here at Sports Map Radio Network. So we'll take you guys all the way up until 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And we still have lots to get to here, including our guy Rick Horro coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But yeah, there's never enough time to really dedicate the hours that I think it's worth dedicating to getting on LeBron James. And we opened the show sort of teasing this a little bit, but a couple days ago, LeBron makes his big announcement, you know, that he's going back to wearing the number 6. So, you know, ultimately, what's the goal here at LeBron? Is it to get two numbers retired in LA? Is that what you're looking to do so you can outshine, you know, Magic Johnson and outshine James Worthy and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Is that what you're trying to do? Are you trying to go out there and do something that these guys haven't done before? Are you trying to tell us that you had a bad playoffs and off year, losing in the first round because of your number? Is it a karma thing, or is it an attention grab? And to me, it's clearly option number 3. This was a desperation attempt at LeBron James to return the spotlight to him. He's used to the spotlight shining brightest on himself right about now. This is when LeBron James usually has the attention of the sports world focused in his direction, as he's, you know, sort of catapulting himself through the NBA playoffs. And at times, you know, especially earlier on in his career, he was dragging little-known players like Booby Gibson to the finals along with him. That, you know, when Booby, a guy named Booby, is your number 2 option, or Wally Zerbiak playing on one leg was your second-best scoring option, give LeBron all the credit in the world for dragging those early Cavs teams to the NBA Finals. I don't care that you lost. It's a huge accomplishment just to get there when Booby and Wally are your running mates. And you did that. And then, of course, he reinvents himself, goes to Miami, and you know, it becomes kind of a front runner, and that's okay. It's the trend, and it's what all these guys are doing. I'm not a fan of it, but I'm not going to sit here and hate on him for it either. It's what NBA players do. And until the league does something about it, then this is the league that I love. It's the league that has been created, and it is the league that has really become the definition of a players' league. So as much as it pains me to watch sometimes, knowing that these guys are working behind the scenes, circumventing the salary cap at times, undercutting their bosses, undercutting general managers to force their way out of situations, it's a tough pill to swallow if your team does everything right, but they can't attract said free agent because said free agent wants to go play with his boy from AAU. But there's absolutely nothing we can do about that at this moment in time. But LeBron goes to Miami, wins championships there. LeBron goes to LA, goes back to Cleveland, wins his championship there, goes to LA, wins a championship there. You know, LeBron fully expected to at least put himself back in the NBA Finals this year, if not win an NBA championship. And therein lies my problem with the decision that he made. And I can't believe the people that surround LeBron James, you know, the people in his inner circle, I can't believe those people allowed LeBron to do this, because to me it's a horrific, horrific look. What is the difference for LeBron James if he announces that he's changing his number back to number 6, I don't know, in the middle of the NBA playoffs, or if he decides to be patient and wait until after a championship has been won and a new NBA champion has been crowned? You know, maybe LeBron releases a statement a couple days after the NBA Finals congratulating the new NBA champion, and at the same time saying, by the way, I'll be back next year wearing number 6. You couldn't wait 3-4 weeks to do that? Why do you have to make yourself a topic of conversation on SportsCenter, on First Take, throughout the nation on talk shows like this? Why do you have to insert yourself into a conversation that you really haven't earned your way into this year and take the attention off the product on the court and put the attention on a damn press release that gets put out? Is it to sell more jerseys? Are the Lakers that hard up that, hey, you know, we've got these LeBron jerseys, they stop slowing, they're selling slower, number 23, but be the first to get a number 6. Like, it makes no sense to me. And to me, it's bad timing, it's bad PR, and it makes LeBron look childish, it makes LeBron look petty, it makes him look like he's desperate, and it makes him look jealous. It makes him look jealous of his NBA counterparts that are still participating in active games, trying to win a championship as we speak. That's my problem. I thought LeBron had graduated from that state, that mental state, where once upon a time, maybe his mental state was fragile enough where, I don't know, his ego could get a little intimidated watching other guys like Kyrie Irving and watching other guys like Kevin Durant and Giannis Antetokounmpo have their opportunity to sort of shine. Watching a guy like Chris Paul, who's been around forever, succeed in the postseason. But apparently LeBron's ego is still so fragile that he couldn't even allow these people to have their moment in the sun without inserting himself in a conversation that he doesn't belong in just yet. You got the entire offseason, LeBron, to go pub your new number or the return to number 6. Instead, there's billboards all over LA and press releases showing up in my inbox every day. And oh, by the way, Lakers.com is pimping your new shirt like it's going out of style. And it's all an ill-fated attempt to get attention back where it does not belong. My name is Patrick Gilroy. This is the Sports Map Radio Network. No Anthony Pepe this evening. We're going to take your way all the way up until 10 p.m. Eastern time, talking about LeBron James, his number change, of course, the Nets-Bucks going on right now. Get more into the Major League Baseball, quote-unquote, crackdown on illegal substances and their fake 10-game or 10-day suspension that players face coming up in the second half of the program as well. But the other thing that's happened sort of in the NBA off the court. So off the court, you know, these games are great. They're entertaining. They're fun. But you got the LeBron discussion off the court. And, of course, you've got the Tokyo Olympics coming up in about 6 weeks, if they happen. Right now it looks like they're going to happen, but in reading some press releases coming out of Tokyo today, there's different variations of COVID that they're facing over there, and there's still some potential dangers to NBA players and to athletes in general. We'll see. Yeah, I think that the games are going to go off without a hitch. I think that this snowball of getting out of COVID is in full effect at this stage in the game, and it's going to be very difficult to slow down this train. I think people are ready, they're waiting, they're willing, and they want to move on post-COVID, regardless if COVID is still a thing or not. People's mindset has really changed at this stage in the game. People are starting to get used to walking around without masks again, shopping normal hours, going to restaurants, not social distancing like they used to, despite the CDC's guidelines sort of suggesting that you continue to do these things. People are really embracing sort of breaking free from what we've had to endure over the last 460-some-odd days. So as a part of these revamped, reworked Tokyo Olympics for 2021, we're starting to see names of NBA stars trickle out, guys that have confirmed that they're going to join the team in Tokyo. And to me, this is really hard. See, a guy like Bradley Beal has committed to the team, and that's fine. Bradley Beal and his Wizards didn't go to the playoffs in the bubble. They lost their play-in opportunity this year. Bradley Beal hasn't put a lot of miles on. You know, I know he played, for the most part, a full 82-game season this year, but that's normal. That's what's expected. But for a guy like Jason Tatum to commit and commit this early on, I think it's a monumental mistake. Look, Jason Tatum had a bad day today. He had a very bad day today. So the NBA comes out with their All-NBA first team, second team, third team. Kyrie Irving makes All-NBA, I believe, second team with 61 votes, yet Jason Tatum gets 69 votes, and he doesn't make an All-NBA team. Okay, no big deal. An ego hit, right? No. As part of the contract extension that Jason Tatum signed last offseason, if he made the All-NBA first, second, or third team, his contract spikes to taking up 30% of the Celtics' salary cap. Without making it, he only gets 25% of their cap, which means over the course of this contract, Jason Tatum just lost $30 million, despite the fact that he got eight more votes than an All-NBA second teamer. Figure that one out. So Jason Tatum has a bad day-to-day financially, losing $30 million. And then it's announced that he is committed to play for Team USA. And my problem isn't Jason Tatum's willingness, desire, his want to go out there and represent his country. And by the way, he will be the first Celtic since Larry Bird of the 1992 Dream Team to compete in the actual Olympics representing the Celtics. That's a cool thing. It's a big deal, and it's something I will thoroughly enjoy watching. However, Jason Tatum played through COVID last season, the COVID year last season, played in through the bubble after the break in the season, and the Celtics nearly went to the NBA Finals. They went to Game 6 of the Conference Finals, so they were one of the final three teams remaining, final three teams standing. They have a very limited offseason. The NBA gets going this year, and Jason Tatum is back up and at it after, what, a six-week offseason? And there were many times this year, even before he came down with COVID, where he talked about being physically exhausted, where he talked about the fact that, you know, playing through the extended bubble season last year really took its toll psychologically and physically on his body. But nevertheless, Jason Tatum goes out, has a terrific season, puts up nearly 27 points a game, 8 rebounds a game, and has just numbers that are off the charts. But he looked tired. If you watched him, I know that he had multiple 50-point games. I know that he was awesome in the play-in game. Then he had the 50-point game against Brooklyn where the Celtics actually stole one. But he looked tired for long stretches this year. That's a combination of two things. Jason Tatum came down with COVID this year. He missed a few weeks due to that, and it took him a few weeks to start to bounce back from that. It really took its toll on Jason Tatum. And, of course, Jason Tatum playing back-to-back seasons with virtually no offseason, I thought what was best for Jason Tatum would be to take an extended break this offseason, and, you know, we'll see you come late September, early October for training camp. You know, if I'm the Celtics, that's the message that I'm trying to deliver to Jason Tatum. If you're the Celtics, your best hope of rebounding after a less than stellar season this year is that Jason Tatum is 100%, plays all 82 games next year, and is ready to lead this team. If there's one more level for Jason Tatum to take his game up to, that's the Celtics' best chance at getting great again. For him to become a bona fide top 5, top 10 NBA player night in and night out, where it's no debate, where you talk about your top 10 players, you can have them in any order that you like, but his name is on that list no matter where you are in this country and no matter which team you root for. That's the Celtics' best hope of getting great quickly once again. And I don't think it's in their best interest or his best interest for him to go out there and for once again push his body through another offseason like this. You know, he did it through the bubble last year. After the break, the Celtics wound up playing deep into the summer because that's the way the schedule was set. And then the NBA wanted to come back. They only cut 10 games off the schedule. And Jason Tatum came back and had a great year this year. But he talked about how tired he was. I mean, I'm in the media. I'm in the locker room. I listened to this guy. He talked about how exhausted he was. And then after COVID hit, my God, that he couldn't stop talking about how COVID really took a toll on his body. So why not take a few months off? What is so important about playing in these Olympics? Is it that Jason Tatum desperately wants to represent his country? Is that what it is? Is it a status thing so he can go out there and play with his boy Bradley Beal and you know be one of these guys that represent the NBA and represent his city? That's fine. But I think that there's mitigating circumstances for some of these guys, and there's special circumstances for some of these guys, and Jason Tatum is one of those guys. You know, nobody really played deeper outside of the Lakers and outside of Miami last year than the Celtics and Jason Tatum did. And for the Celtics to get great, they need Jason Tatum, they need Jaylen Brown, they need these guys to be 100% on board psychologically and physically next season. If I'm the Celtics, I try to keep Jason Tatum the hell away from Tokyo, and I do it because I don't want to expose Jason Tatum and in turn expose other members of my front office and my team and my players to whatever variants of COVID are hanging around over there. And if I'm the Celtics, I was about to say if I'm Danny Ainge, but Danny Ainge no longer works for the Celtics. If I'm Brad Stevens, the new president of basketball operations for the Celtics, former head coach, I'm on the horn with Jason Tatum right now saying, we'll give you, we'll find a way to give you that $30 million that you lost out on because you weren't an all-NBA player this year, as long as you promise not to go overseas and go to Tokyo, put your body through this, and then come back and try to compete for training camp and be ready for training camp. Why is the priority not on the team that pays you? Why is the priority not for the city and the fan base that keeps you in the spotlight day in and day out? Why is the priority out there serving Team USA? It doesn't make sense to me. These Olympic Games are being forced upon us, and they're being forced upon these players. And I think Jason Tatum just made an unfortunate decision that's going to come back and not only haunt him, unfortunately, it's going to come back and haunt all 14 of his teammates next season as well. My name is Patrick Gilroy. This is the Sports Map Radio Network. When we come back, we'll talk about what we've got on tap for hour number two. Don't go anywhere, right here on the Diehards.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Final segment here of hour number one, Diehards. No Anthony Pepe, no friends, just Patrick Gilroy hanging out with you guys. And, of course, the Diehards, proud partner of the Food Truck Festivals of America. Check them out, foodtruckfestivalsofamerica.com. And, of course, we're presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans for your family. Never forget that Rocket can. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. When we come back, we're going to get back into the NBA. Right now, it looks like Milwaukee really, really doing a number on Brooklyn in the first quarter. Of course, Rick Horro, the sports professor, he will join us coming up shortly on the program as well. Don't go anywhere. The fun is just getting started on the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.